Amen. Praise God. That'll get you stirring. That song reminds me of Kenneth Hagin's camp meetings. That gets your motor going. Just bring some memories back of the early 80s and early 90s and even the 2000s. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to continue where we were last healing school. Just hook up where we were, but I'd like to reiterate some things. These things you always have to stir yourself up in. You always got to constantly remind yourself in them. For the reason the adversary, like Pastor was just sharing her, he's a liar. He'll bombard your mind with vexation, especially when you begin to trust the Lord in these areas. You really don't know what the fight of faith is until you step out on the waters. You begin to trust the Lord. And you really don't realize how real the devil is when he becomes, when he assaults your mind with constant thoughts that you're not going to receive or what you're basically believing for is not coming to pass. But a month ago when I was sharing, I'm going to share this testimony. My wife should be sharing it, but I'm going to share it. My wife had a kidney stone, and she went to the specialist. And they did a sonogram, and the woman that did the sonogram says there's definitely a good-sized kidney stone. And it was in the left kidney, and she had severe symptoms, and she was having a kidney infection where she had an infection in her body. Well, they checked her out and all that. Well, when she went to the urologist, the urologist did another check on her and says, no, there's no stone there. But she still had all these symptoms. And the last healing service, when I was ministering that evening when we went home, she was real sick. She got a fever. She was in bed. And we already prayed and I laid hands on her, believing that she was healed. And she's coming down with all these symptoms. Like she had the flu. And actually, she didn't know if she had the flu or this was a result of what she was dealing with. Well, instead of the pain being here, it was down in her bladder real bad. She had a constant pressure. And so my wife says, let's pray. So I got together with her in our bedroom, and we laid there. And we ministered to the Lord for probably over an hour. I want to say these things because sometimes people, you assume that people are grabbing hold of the message and they're not putting the action necessary in causing God to move in your behalf. The work is already done, and in your mind you have to have that fixed. It's not you trying to be healed, it's you are healed in the Satan stealing your health. What will you do to stand against it? That's the question. So anyhow, we begin to minister to the Lord, and I use 2 Chronicles. I shared it when Pastor Keith asked me to minister the one morning after he was attacked with that heart attack, where Jehoshaphat sent forth singers and praisers before the enemy. Well, we begin to act upon that. Now, she's not feeling good, okay? I'm doing most of the praising, and you know what's coming out of her lips is, you know, Lord, we just thank you that you are so good and your mercy's enduring forever. You know, there's not much coming out because of the pain she's in. Well, we keep ministering to the Lord, and I brought 2 Chronicles to the Lord's attention. I said, Father, I believe we already received healing. I've laid hands on her. I believe in Jesus' name she's every whit whole. And as we begin to minister to the Lord, the presence of the Lord began to manifest itself. And I have a teaching at home where I was listening to Norville Hayes one time, and Norville Hayes made this statement, God will show up, but most of the time people won't do what it's necessary to create an atmosphere for him to show up. And through praise and worshiping unto the Lord, he began to manifest himself in a tangible way. Okay, and we ministered probably about an hour to him in praise, thanking him that he was so good and his mercy endure forever. Well, what happened was I began praying in the spirit. And once we started praying in the spirit, we began to laugh in the spirit. And if that's something that's foreign to you, the life in the Spirit is initiated by the Holy Ghost. It's Him within you laughing, and you give voice to it, okay? And if you've never experienced, it's wonderful. I long for it. It happens to us quite often. And we begin laughing in the Spirit and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. Well, whenever the Holy Ghost begins to manifest Himself like that, you've got to realize that it's a note of victory. You've got the petition. It's answered. And 2 days later, she calls the urologist and talks to the urologist about these symptoms that she had. Meanwhile, we're still thanking God that she's healed. So Tuesday night, the urologist, you know, there's a procedure because of infections and that. You got to keep yourself clean and all that. Well, my wife goes to the bathroom. I'm not going to get into a lot of this, but everybody's adults here. But I just want to come down where you're living, okay? Because people don't realize. Anyhow, she's getting clean, and she just went to the bathroom, and she passed this stone. Now, she passed this stone unaware. This stone was a big stone. We took it to the urologist. They checked it out. I mean, this sucking thing had little things on it. And what stones are, they're calcium buildup. And that's why they just tear you apart inside whenever you're passing them. But anyhow, she passed it without pain. After we had that note of victory. Amen. And the moment she passed it, she realized the pressure was all gone because she said to me, I don't feel them symptoms anymore. But my point is, when you begin to trust God, you put your faith out there. And if it doesn't seem to be working, begin to minister to the Lord. He says He would set ambushments against the wicked one. Part of your inheritance under the Abrahamic covenant is He would set, in Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter says, though the enemy comes in against you one way, he'll flee from you seven ways. He'll cause your enemy to be smitten before your face. We saw the enemy being smitten before our face. So I wanted to share that because when you're ministering, I love testimonies, and there should be testimonies because of what you're hearing here. God says He would confirm His word with signs absolutely following. So what I'm saying is be diligent in your faith. Have that tenacity about you that you refuse to give up. Healing is yours. It's your provision. It's provided for you. But I wanted to share that. But now I want to hook up to where we were last healing school. And I was talking about within Scripture, this God kind of faith is revealed within certain accounts within the gospel. And we looked at Luke 17, and I'd like you to turn to Luke 17, 5 and 6. We're not going to read the whole account again. But the Lord keeps impressing upon me because people don't get this. I hate to say it. They just being around and ministering to people. This is one of the things that people stumble over is about you have what you say. And it's what initiates the power of God in your life, whether you realize it or not. But in Luke 17, verse 5 and 6, it says here, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And this happened to do with offenses, temptation, testings, and trials. And what the Lord said, it's impossible that these things, you're going to go through these things. They're going to be arrayed against you within this Christian life. And he made mention that if your brother offends you seven times, you're to forgive him, even seven times 70 in a day. And the apostles, you know, sort of got freaked out about that and said, Lord, you're going to have to increase our faith. Well, when he made that statement, you got to ask yourself, did he answer the question? And the answer to that is yes. But he laid it out in the law of faith, and it's actually under wraps. In other words, you got to actually dig within the conversation to see what he says to them. So it says here, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, this is his response, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And he uses the word if. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now the Amplified says this, ye could say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now I wanted to center on the fact that Jesus said, he's answering the question. And the question is, Lord, increase our faith. And immediately he begins to relate that this operation of faith operates like a seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. So the saying part comes into play here too. It's important to understand that your faith operates like a seed. What I just shared here with my wife and I, with that situation with my wife, If you understand this, it helps you immensely standing, okay? Because people begin to cast away their confidence in the Lord. You got to realize faith works like a seed. Now, he went on to say here, you would say. Now, the saying part is very vital. The saying part is the release of the God kind of faith out of your heart. Now, Ephesians says this, and I brought these points up last lesson, but I want to reiterate these things because it's vital. Ephesians 4:15 talks about, but speaking the truth in love. The Apostle Paul had the revelation about speaking. The truth is the Word of God. You could say that this way, but speaking the Word in love may grow up into Him in all things. Growing up depicts increase in all things. If you want to grow up in your faith in Him, it's going to come through speaking the truth. Yes. Now, when I talk about speaking the truth, I'm talking about speaking the promise. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That word is synonymous, truth is synonymous with the Word, speaking the Word in love. So when I'm making mention of that, I'm talking about the promise concerning whatever God has provided for you, you begin to speak it. If you want increase, increase is going to become manifested in your life from the fruit of your lips. And I made this example what I've seen in healing school because I've taught it, where people keep hearing and never acting. And they're under a false pretense, thinking that as they constantly hear, all of a sudden they're going to accumulate this big, massive amount of faith before they step out. And I guarantee you, you won't step out because the devil will be right there telling you you haven't heard enough. Okay, and you're to the point where how much of hearing is enough? So this is the case right here. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Now he says, if you had faith as a seed, I'll say it that way. Mustard seed is just the unit of measure, that small portion of faith. Everybody, every born-again believer has been dealt the measure of faith by God to enter into his grace. So very small measure of faith. That's why he used the mustard seed. That's why he used seed to explain this thing. Now I said, these truths are under wraps. And you got to start unwrapping. It's sort of like an onion. You start peeling the different layers off. So as you peel these layers off, you begin to see these truths and you begin to see the operation of this God kind of faith. So this faith operates like a seed, even though it's a small unit of measure. And most people are on a small unit of measure unless you have developed yourself over the years in believing and trusting God. Now, my wife and I have been in this message for over 30-some years, and that's why I share my testimonies, because I've studied this subject, and my wife and I live by this. We practice it. And when you start seeing the manifestations of this, it gets you excited. You want to share it to other people because the Word is true. And this is what the body of Christ needs, is just the understanding of it. It's nothing like having God answer your prayers. It's frustration when you don't get your prayers answered. You know, then the devil just torments you with some type of condemnation that, you know, you're not worthy. And you did this in the past and that in the past. And, He tries to bring up all kinds of stuff and condemn you. Then what happens is then you never act. You just throw the whole ball of wax. You just said, the heck with this. You know, it doesn't work. Well, it does work. So what he's saying is this faith works like a seed. Now, the increase comes by saying. Now, I brought Ephesians 15 up about speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Growing up into him in all things depicts increase. Lord, increase our faith. Increase. You would speak the truth. So speaking the truth is vital. Actually, James says it this way, the tongue's the rudder of the ship. James uses the example that you're the helmsman or the pilot. Even though the winds and the storms beat vehemently against the ship, okay, that ship is steered with that very small rudder. Wherever the helmsman lists, or wherever the helmsman dictates. So you're the pilot of your ship. And James uses that example so you can see it. You know, a picture depicting your faith. The storm's blowing the ship across the sea. It'll blow it whichever way the wind's going. But you can begin to counter and turn that ship by turning the rudder. And the rudder's turned by your speaking. The rudder's the tongue. So he's given us the key here to increase the faith. Paul had that revelation saying, speaking the truth in love. You'll grow up. If you're staggering in the area of healing, you get the healing scriptures and you begin to say them to yourself out loud. Begin to use your tongue as a pen to write upon the table of your heart. That's why David said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. This principle is all through scripture. And like I said, it's something you cannot hear enough of. Now, Proverbs 18:20, I brought up last lesson two, was this, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. That's the innermost being. When it's making reference to the belly of a man, it's the innermost being. The innermost being of a man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, this is Solomon speaking this. He's giving you a key here. I'm just bringing this in here to enlighten you more on this subject. It's with the increase of a man's lips. Lord, increase our faith, you would say. You would say. Then he tells you what to say. You would say, in this case, here to the sycamine tree. Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus saying, it will obey you. Sickness will obey you. Unforgiveness in your heart will obey you when you make a decision to say, I forgive them in Jesus' name. Do you ever notice that the love of God is not an automatic thing? You ever have somebody get you really ticked off and wonder, where's the love of God that supposedly shed abroad in my heart? Does it manifest itself? Does it manifest itself automatically? No. It's a choice. And it's done by saying, Lord, I trust that the love of God is in me. I refuse to hold art against this individual. I choose to forgive them. Giving voice, that begins to release the love. And the love will begin to well up. Then you'll begin to feel sorry for the individual because you see the darkness that they're in. And all they are is the pawn of the enemy, because the Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. And you're arrayed within a battle. But you have to make a conscious decision what you're going to say. It's not an automatic thing. The same way when symptoms come on your body, it's not an automatic thing that by his stripes you're healed. You have to begin to say. Got to release that faith with words and with actions. So with the fruit of a man's lips, his belly's going to be filled. Now in the Gospels, it talks about the kingdom of God is as if a man would cast seed into his own garden. We have to realize that we are the garden of God. Now the scripture talks about God writing these things upon the table of our heart and our mind. I can go to 1,000 Christians and tell you half of them, or probably most of them, couldn't even tell me 2 healing scriptures. You know why? They've never written it upon the table of their heart. And here's the thing, God doesn't do that automatically. He does it through your lips. It's not an automatic thing. You do it. You do the speaking. You do the writing upon the table of your heart. You decree a thing and it's established unto you. You do it. All right? So we find out that it's with the increase of a man's lips shall he be filled. If you want to be filled with faith, it's going to come by the increase of your lips. Not the increase of hearing, 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 hearing. Hearing the Word of God, faith is awakened by hearing. When you hear the message, it awakens faith. What are you going to do now? It's like Paul. When Paul was ministering in the book of Acts, it talks about he perceived that a man had faith to be healed. Man still sat there, was crippled. Until Paul shouted to get action out of him. And that's not good. Shouted to get action of him. The man jumped up and was healed because the Bible says Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Now, they would have probably willed him out of that service if that man did not give action after Paul shouted. It wasn't an automatic thing, although in the eyes of God, the man was already healed. Now, I'll share this testimony. I heard Norville Hayes gives this testimony. He's up in Upper New York, just by Canada there, and he's ministering. And he ministered about an hour or so on calling things that be not as though they were. And he's ministering and ministering and ministering, and he's standing behind the pulpit, and there's a guy in the front of the church in a wheelchair, and the word of the Lord comes unto him saying, "Son, what you taught tonight would heal him if he'd call his crooked leg straight." I like what Norval says. You better be hearing God when you begin to act on this. So he comes off the platform and he comes up to the man and said, "The Lord just spoke to me audibly and said, if you'd call your crooked leg straight, he'd heal you." And the guy just sat there after sitting over an hour under his ministry of teaching, calling the thing that is not as though it's that it is. And the man wouldn't act. So he went down there again and said, "The Lord said, if you will call your crooked leg straight, he'd heal you." Man sat and looked right at him. Now he makes this statement. He said, "I know what I'll do. I'm going to blast his mind because the guy won't act. His miracle's waiting." Okay? In the eyes of God, the word of the Lord has come. But there's no action. Nothing from his lips, nothing at all. So he comes up to the man and he says, and he goes right by his head. He said, "Call your crooked leg straight." "Call your crooked leg." And he did this for quite a few minutes. Finally, the guy started breaking down and saying, "I call my crooked leg straight. I call my crooked leg straight. I call my..." He says, "Call him straight. Call him straight." You have to know Norval Hayes. He's very bold. He's screaming, "Call him straight. Call him straight. I call my crooked leg straight." And all of a sudden, the power of God comes down, lifts him out of the chair, and he's made whole. The pastor of the church says to Norval, "He's never done that before." And Norval says, "And you probably never heard us call his crooked leg straight either." The mouth set the miracle in operation. Amen. Now, Ephesians 5:17 says this, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise." Say, "I'm not unwise." "I'm not unwise." "But understanding." Now, this is Paul speaking again here. Now, and what I'm doing with these scriptures, I'm extracting the truth out of them. Like I said, it's like an onion. You're peeling it open. "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." This is the will of the Lord. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but being filled with the Spirit." Speaking. to yourselves. Remember, the kingdom of God is as if a man casts seed into his own garden, the heart, the belly. Paul's telling here that speaking to yourself, now this is concerned being filled with the Spirit, all right, which is a way that God continually overflows you with the Holy Spirit. And it comes by speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice everything is vocalized. Now what I'm doing is I'm bringing the principle out. Speaking to yourselves. Jesus said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. So it's the principle we're looking at here. The principle is speaking. Speaking to yourself. Now when you, in this situation here, you continually begin to be being filled. There's a process going on. But if you do not speak to yourselves, it doesn't work. It's not an automatic thing. Now, Jude 20 says this, but beloved, building up yourselves. There's increase again. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Jude had a revelation of this. Obviously, he must have been listening when Jesus expounded upon these things. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to say it this way so we get the point. Like it says, I'm extracting the principle. But ye beloved, build up yourself on your most holy faith, saying in the Holy Ghost. Now, when you speak in tongues, you're saying. You're not saying English words. You're speaking an unknown language initiated by the Holy Ghost. But the principle of speaking is there. You can't stir the Holy Ghost up unless you speak. You got to babble your lips, stammer your tongue. That gets the Holy Ghost stirred up. It's not an automatic thing. You speak. You stir them up. Notice it's you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. You can say it like this. Judah's saying, if you want to increase in your faith, build yourself up. Say, not constantly hear. Now, I'm not belittling hearing, but how many messages do you have to hear before you act? And if you know, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, even though one message on the subject of divine healing awakens faith within your heart. One message of the God kind of faith is awakened when you hear the message of salvation. Can you imagine trying to get somebody born again? You're out witnessing and try to say that they got to hear. No, you just say, hey, you know, Jesus died for your sins. He loved you. You know, God the Father raised him from the dead. Right there, you just created an atmosphere for him to be born again. And if the person's heeding what the Spirit of God's saying and the Holy Ghost is drawing him, and then if he makes a decision to act and you lead him, basically what you're doing is you're operating this principle. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So you get him to begin to confess, begin to say. All you were the instrument. God did everything else. But the individual had to say something. That's right. God gave the increase. So we're seeing this principle. Now, I want to turn to Matthew 17, verse 14 through 21. I expounded on this a little bit in the last, but there's so much in this account. This is the lunatic that Jesus ministered to, where the disciples failed to get this boy set free. Matthew 17, verse 14, we'll start there. And it says, and when they come to the multitude, When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying. Now, a lot of times when we read these scriptures, we just read through the words and not realizing. I set a foundation up to get going here so you can begin to see what's going on here. If I didn't lay this foundation, I can give you these truths and you miss them. So this guy comes to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic. Now, I want you to begin to get into the mind of this father and what this father has been dealing with his son since he was a child. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes falls into the fire. So he's suicidal, oftentimes. So who knows how many times this has taken place. So can you imagine the vexation in the man's mind? Okay? He's a lunatic, sore vexed, and oftentimes falleth into the fire and often into the water. This father probably can't keep this kid. He's probably got to have his eyes on him constantly because this kid is crazy. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, I'm sure this father said the same things to the disciples as he said to Jesus, because he has to let the disciples know what he's dealing with because he wants his son set free. Now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. They failed to get this kid free. My personal belief is it was the report of this kid being a lunatic. Now, the Amplified says he had epileptic seizures. He convulsed. He foamed at the mouth. Now, I'm under the belief that this moved the disciples where they did not act because of the circumstances. Verse 16 again, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Now, the reason I shared that part where I believe the report is what hindered them was Jesus called them faithless. And anywhere you search through Scripture about the term faithless, it always had to do with somebody not acting, not doing, they wouldn't do anything. When Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship and the storm came, he stood up, he rebuked the storm, and he says, how is it you have no faith? After he taught them about the mystery of the operation of the kingdom, the disciples didn't do anything. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's what their response was. So Jesus is calling him faithless. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now watch what he says here now. Now this is the God kind of faith. Being unfolded here. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. This is why I believe he called him faithless. The mountain there was the devil. This kid was demon possessed. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Now watch the next verse. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, going back to Luke's gospel, when he was talking about forgiving your brother, if your brother forgives you, if your brother offends you 490 times in a day, you're to forgive him. They say increase our faith. He uses the same phrase, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, here, it's talking about unbelief. Lord, why couldn't we cast them out? Because you're under belief. Then he says, if you had faith as a seed. This is why I'm saying I don't believe they acted. He wouldn't reprimand them. Knowing Jesus, he wouldn't reprimand anybody for stepping out and begin to do something to get the boy set free. I believe they didn't do anything. This is why they couldn't cure him. I believe the report paralyzed them. And it says here, verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now there's a key here. The remedy for unbelief is, you would say. You follow me? This is what they said. Lord, why couldn't we cast them out? Because of your unbelief. Then what did he do? He gives this discourse again. We saw in the other account, was Lord increase our faith? He gives the same discourse, and we find out that faith works like a seed. And the way that you get it to begin to work, you begin to plant it by saying it. That's how increase comes. How do you conquer unbelief? You would say. You would say. All right? So the remedy for unbelief is, you would say. If you're staggering at the promise within Scripture, and now the Bible says in Romans 4, Romans 4, verse 17, about Abraham. Abraham waxed strong in faith, giving glory unto God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Staggering is an indication of unbelief. But the remedy for it is, you would say. Take the promise that you're having an issue with and begin to say. See what he's saying here? Because of your unbelief. And he gives this discourse again. Faith works like a seed, and the way you overcome unbelief is you would begin to say. Now listen to what Proverbs 12:6 says. And expound a little bit more. Now this is Solomon. There's a lot in Proverbs that Solomon penned about this principle. Proverbs 12:6 says this, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Amen. How do you get delivered from a lack of faith? Your mouth. How do you get delivered from unbelief? Your mouth. The mouth of the upright shall deliver them. It doesn't say it might. The mouth of the upright shall deliver them. And if you're saying, by his stripes I'm healed, this is what God is saying. My mouth is delivering me. I have faith as a seed, you would say. Now, the New English Bible says this, the wicked are destroyed by their own words. The words of the good man are his salvation. Do you have that, Josh? That translation you don't have. But the words of the good man are his salvation. Remember Jesus said, a good man out of the good deposits of his heart, he flings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil deposits of his heart, he flings forth evil things. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. And what Solomon is expounding upon here is your words, and he uses the term good. The words of the good man are his salvation. Your words are your salvation. Amen. Your words are your salvation for the lack of faith. Your words are your salvation for unbelief. Now listen to what Proverbs 6:2 says here. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Now, the basic translation says this: you are taking as in a net by the words of your mouth. In other words, you're captured by your words. And Solomon's using examples like if you've been hung up in a net. Your words have bound you. And he goes on to say this: the sayings of your lips have overcome you. Now, getting back to the account, this is why I believe what this father shared with the disciples is what paralyzed them. Jesus gives them the key for unbelief, you would say. Now, Proverbs 15:23 says this: a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. The sayings of your lips. A man has, joy by the answer of his mouth. A word. Now listen to this. You would say, if you want increase in faith, you would say, if you want to overcome unbelief, you would say, now listen what he says here: a word spoken in due season, how good is it? What will you speak when you're needing healing? It's due season. Will you speak a good word? I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. If you do, you'll have joy. A man will have joy by the answer of his mouth. If you're believing God in the area of finances and the reports dictating, how are you going to have joy? By the word you speak. A word spoken in due season, how good is it? My God supplies my every need. So you're seeing within these accounts the principles of the God kind of faith. And I think sometimes we actually do ourselves an injustice when we begin to just go to, and I'm not knocking this, to one account all the time, like Mark 11:23. Because people aren't getting the impact of the words. They don't know that your words is what's going to overcome your unbelief. Your words are what's going to cause the increase in your faith. Just sit there and say, Father, I just thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Get 1 Peter 2:24 and you quote it, write it, get it upon your tongue, write it upon the table of your heart, and begin to say, because you begin to release it. Even though you might be, like Jesus is saying, even though it's a little amount of faith, it's still faith. And you're planning it for increase. And as you begin to see these things taking place and you begin to see manifestations and God's answering your prayer, the more bolder you get, the more empowered you get, and the more you want to believe Him, the more you want to see Him move in the midst of your life. Now, here's keys within this account. And what we're going to do is we're going to read Mark's account of the same thing. Mark gets into a lot more than what Matthew says here. But Mark doesn't expound on the 20th verse where he says, you know, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Mark doesn't even mention that, but he makes a statement. It's really profound. Now, within this account here, the remedy for unbelief is, you would say, these are keys within this act of the God kind of faith being explained. Faith operates like a seed. The grain of mustard seed is just the unit of measure. Okay? Your faith, even though it's small, works. You plant it for increase. In other words, you don't want to hear and never begin to say, because what you haven't started the process of increase. And everybody starts out somewhere. You got to begin to say. And here's another key. You must say to the mountain, in this case here was the devil. Jesus spoke to the devil. And what he did was he commanded it to be removed. Now, whether it's the devil, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether it's a lack of wisdom, whether it's a lack of understanding, you have to begin to say to the mountain, whatever you're dealing with. If you're believing God for wisdom, if you need a decision, you're coming to a Y and a road, I gotta make a decision here, and you petition God for the wisdom, you've acknowledged him in this way, he says, I will direct your path. Make a step of faith and go one way or the other and make a decree with your mouth. I have the wisdom of God. He is leading me and guiding me. And as you do that, you begin to set in motion God to direct you. Then he went on to say here, another key is nothing. When you understand this principle, nothing shall be impossible unto you. In other words, when you're dealing with an issue where it seems insurmountable, this case, this father was so vexed in his mind concerning his son being suicidal, it paralyzed him. Okay? That man, that's all he thought about was that boy. Okay, so it seems insurmountable. This is why Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Because you begin to take your faith, you begin to plant it for increase. And if you're struggling with unbelief, you plant it anyhow. This is how you overcome unbelief. If you don't do it, it don't get done. So Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. And I'll save the last part about the prayer and fasting when we read the second account now. Now let's go to Mark 9 and read the account and see what Mark has to say. And can I give you a suggestion? If you're ever reading and doing any study, this is what they call parallel study, where you take the one account, and it's the same account, but it's written by another writer. Read it and compare. See what the one writer says and what the other writer doesn't say. And by doing so, you get the full picture. You begin to get pieces of the puzzle, and the understanding of this God kind of faith begins to come alive to you because you're getting the understanding of it. Now, verse 17 says this, and one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Now, Matthew didn't say that. So the picture gets even worse. This kid's an epileptic, convulse, foams, can't speak. And wheresoever he, that's the spirit, taketh him, he teareth him. Now, not only does he drive him into the fire and into the water, but you never know when this spirit's going to start tearing his kid. And it can be right in public. And actually, this is what happens in this account here. And wherever he, the spirit, taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth. He gnashes with his teeth. He pineth away. That means he goes into a stupor, looks like he's dead. He probably stiffens up like a board. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said unto them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. In other words, they're bringing the boy to Jesus. When this spirit sees Jesus, this spirit begins to act up. This spirit begins to tear this boy. Now, I'm setting this up so you can grab a hold of what's going on here, because like I said, sometimes we just read through this stuff and we're not seeing what Jesus is actually doing to get this man miracle to him. This spirit tears him. He falls on the ground. He wallows foaming. Okay, so this is going on. This kid's having a fit. Now watch what the next verse says. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been going on? How long has this been going on? How long has this been going on? How long is it ago since this came unto him? Now the father responds, and he said, of a child. So there's a conversation going on, and this kid's flipping out. This kid's being torn. He's foaming. He's gnashing his teeth. And you'll see what happens as a result of this kid going berserk in a few verses here. And he said, of a child this thing came unto him. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now watch what he says here. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now watch Jesus' response. Does he say, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, watch what he says here in verse 23. Now, 9:23 is the counterpart to what I've been ministering on in Matthew's account there, Matthew 17:20. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, now he's giving him a faith message while this boy is convulsing and flipping out. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now this is the counterpart. This is the God kind of faith. But Mark doesn't go into if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. It comes out of Jesus' mouth here that all things are possible to him that believeth. In other words, when you understand this operation of the God kind of faith, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. All things are possible to you if you understand the operation of it. If you don't understand the operation of it, you'll never go anywhere beyond where you're at. You have to have the operation, understanding of the operation. So all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, now watch what the father says here. Now Jesus said that because the man says, if thou canst do anything. This man is coming in unbelief. Jesus is getting him into the God kind of faith so his miracle can come to him. And the man says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He's not in faith at all. He don't even know if Jesus will do this. Now verse 24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out. Now let's get into his mind. He's in vexation. He's dealing with a son that's suicidal. That's all this guy's known since this child's been little. It's impossible to him. It's insurmountable. It's pictured right here. He's vexed in his mind. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe. How do we overcome unbelief? Say. What did he get this boy doing? Or this father doing? Can you see what he's doing here? He makes a statement, all things are possible, him that believeth. This man's saying if. This man's so vexed, so bound up. Jesus is instructing him. He's talking with him. His son's wallowing, gnashing. This is going on. He's having a faith lesson. And straightway the father of the child cries out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now let me give you a key right here. The God kind of faith will work in your heart with vexation in your mind. This is what's going on with this guy. And Jesus is getting him to channel the power of God through his act of believing. And verse 25 says this, and when Jesus saw the people come running together. Why do you think they're coming running together? This kid is flipping out. He's wallowing. He's foaming at the mouth. He's gnashing his teeth. He's pining away. And they're having a conversation. And I'm sure the people were thinking, what in the world? And they're coming together to see what's happening with this kid. Now, what's interesting, the other account doesn't share none of this. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him. Notice that spirit was tearing that kid up. And the devil will tear you up until you say. Jesus rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. So we find out that this thing is a dumb and deaf spirit, epileptic. I mean, this boy's in bad shape. I charge you. Now listen to what he says to the spirit. The spirit's the mountain. The spirit's the sycamore tree. I charge thee, come out of him, and do not, and enter no more into him. Obviously, this spirit came and went, came and went, came and went, came and went. This dad never knew when this boy was going to go into one of these fits. Came and went, came and went. Verse 26. And the spirit cried. I like this. Verse 24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out. Now in this verse here, the spirit's crying. This is the good part. And the spirit's crying and and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. See, they were embarrassed. Because you'll read the other accounts, he sent them out two by two, and he sent the 70 out. They come back rejoicing. Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name, and given the testimonies of the healings that, you know, the Lord commissioned them to go out and do. And now privately, they're coming to him to get another faith lesson. And verse 28 says, and when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now I'm going to close right here because we're running out of time. With this account, the cure for unbelief, as you would say, Jesus says, if thou canst believe, there's a belief there within your heart. All things are possible unto you. The Father crying out, I believe, help my unbelief. Like I said before, vexation, the God kind of faith will work in your heart with vexation in your mind. The man cried out anyhow. It was enough. It was the unit of measure of that faith is a grain of mustard seed that caused Jesus to move in his behalf. And it was spoken with tears. It was spoken with tears. Now the last verse says this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. We're going to go to Isaiah 58, 6 and see what Isaiah says about the fast and why Jesus inserted this in this account. Isaiah 58, 6 says this, is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is the fast that God has chosen. Notice what the fast does. to loose the bands of wickedness. Was this kid bound? Yes. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. This kid was not only oppressed, the father was oppressed in mind, but the kid was possessed. But the fast that God has chosen is to let the oppressed go free. And that they break every yoke. Every yoke of the enemy. And the reason Jesus didn't expound upon that statement is because it's already in the Word. That's why I brought Isaiah 58 out. Because you think that because he made that statement, it's important. But the thing is, it's already been revealed in the Word. And we'll close there. We've got to start our service. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment and give God praise this morning. Amen.